fellow colleagues had a running bet on whether you'd be here tonight. There were those that said, yeah, he'll be here. Those said, no, I don't think he is. So there's going to be money exchange hands after this.
You know what? Honestly, I didn't know. So I gave my report, and it's in your packet and everything like that. I didn't know if I'd be in the hospital. I don't know. You know, alive in a stretcher, an IV hanging
over
from me.
Over at Poco Funeral Home.
Yeah, I didn't know. You know, it's my first one, you don't know. And I didn't see a whole lot of people, but I saw some people that were suffering pretty badly that I know wouldn't be showing up to work, so.
How far was the swim on?
The swim was 2.4 miles on Lake Monona, which is a long ways.
Oh, yeah.
Seasonably warm, decent water temperature?
Yes, the water temperature was beautiful. And, you know, we were wearing triathlon suits, so it makes you more buoyant.
Right, a little bit of
skin. Like a skin almost?
No, it's a little thinner.
Yeah, probably a 3 millimeter neoprene.
That's right. Well, congratulations on making your adventure. Maybe it'll be the first of many.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
6:30, let's call our monthly meeting of...
Could you tell me which network we're supposed to connect with here?
Department of Public Works, ask Gary or Frank.
It should be public, Kenosha County
KC
Public.
KC Public.
KC Public.
Yes.
Thank God.
So we're called to order. As far as roll call goes, Supervisor Alverman notified us in advance he'd not be here. I see we're still missing Supervisor Skolitsky. I've not heard from him, so.
I just talked to him less than a half hour ago, and he's going to be here.
So. Okay, so we'll expect him at some point.
Unless something happens.
Regardless, we have a quorum, so we can carry on. The first item on our agenda this evening, number 3, is approval of minutes from the previous meeting.
Motion to approve.
Motion made by Supervisor Boyd Frederick. Have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Approved them from the previous meeting. Next item on our agenda, chairman, committee members, supervisors, youth and government comments. For myself, as far as the chairman goes, I have no specific comments at this time. Anyone else who'd like to comment, please do so. Going once, going twice, youth and governance, any comments on it? And so far. Moving on then to citizens' comments. Are there any citizens in the audience here that would like to make a comment? Once, twice, seeing none, that's closed. We're now on to facilities. Frank, you have some updates for us on facilities?
Yeah, I've got some updates, and Mike has updates also. For the 63 tower, as I reported previously, we moved all the radios from the old tower to the new tower and got them up and running on that July 14th and 15th date. We waited a couple weeks, and that was using the fiber network, Kenosha County Fiber Network, which has not been used previously for a main tower. It did use it for the backup tower in Silver Lake. So after everything was working, we brought the microwave dish and got that hooked up and the connection established with the PSB. When we did that, it turned out that the firefighters for Kenosha, that's a main tower, main radio for the Kenosha Fire Department. And Paul Murphy lives way out by Twin Lakes, and he called up right away, and he said, hey, I'm getting a better signal. He's got a handheld in his house, and said, I'm getting a better signal, what'd you do? I said, well, we went to the microwave today. So, having said that, we kept it on the microwave, and we did some, along with when we went to the microwave connection between the PSB and the new 63 tower, we had asked the microwave company, you know, theoretically, what kind of signal strength can we get from these size dishes and this distance? So they said, well, theoretically, it should be this. And the more you optimize the signal, the less it is susceptible to rain, to snow, things like that. Now, the signal is a little less, but pretty comparable to what we had with the previous 63 tower. We're about a quarter mile further, But since theoretically we should get even more out of it, we are going to look into optimizing that signal so that when we get done, it's the best it can be. Having said that, then we also have to go back and look at the fiber and see exactly what's different there and why we were getting a better signal way out in the county. So it's we have to probably look into some radio engineers, things like that. It could be the way these packets of information travel with the fiber kind of over the internet, where they get split up and they come back together at a certain place and time. So we got to look at that. But bottom line is the tower's up and running. It's working with the radios. We want to do some optimization with the fiber, figure out more of the fiber, but the microwave also optimize that. We have to finish. I'm trying to get quotes for ask the city's requiring us to asphalt the drive, things like that. But
right, there were some comments at last meeting about the rocks and landscaping around there and how that would be
correct. Done. Now, the county, we're doing the entrance to the drive. Gary's people were nice enough to do that because the quotes we were getting were just outrageous for it. The asphalt, we asked, I think, five people to quote, and I got one quote back because they're so busy because, you know, it's, I think, was probably, you know, from what I understand, the spring was so terrible for that type of work. They've got so much. So I'm going out there to try to get three quotes so we can get that done. But yeah, that's the 60th Street shower and tower in a nutshell. We're up and running.
So as far as landscaping goes, you're talking about the entrance. Now what about actually physically inside of it? Is that our responsibility or is that the city?
Inside of it, we have gravel, so we don't have to really maintain it. The city really cuts everything around it. It's just some weeds and things right literally on the fence that grow up kind of right there that we have to take care of.
So are we responsible for ingress and egress? Is that our responsibility?
Yes.
Let's just follow up on the dark fiber versus the microwave. Are they designed to run simultaneously or is one a backup?
One's a backup to the other.
So at this point, microwave is number one.
Correct.
And the backup is
number two.
Black fiber, and it's going to be that way into the foreseeable future.
Correct.
But still trying to optimize the microwave.
Correct.
Portion.
And we're gonna find out why the fiber was not as strong as the microwave too.
Okay. All right, very well. Question?
Is either the optimization or the investigation into this going to cost additional money for the project? What I mean by outside contractors?
For the microwave, right now we're thinking it may be a fine adjustment on the microwave, sort of like if you have a DirecTV or something on your home, there's a very small kind of adjustment, and the adjusters actually were stainless and they weren't adjusting properly, so under warranty I'm having them exchange those and put an Eversease through it all, so we shouldn't have that problem in the future. And they're going to come back and do that fine adjustment, so I'm hoping that is the cure for that. If it is, then we're okay. The fiber optic is a little more tricky. That's where I'm consulting with IT. It may be more on IT side, so I can't answer that just yet because IT is kind of looking at it from their side.
Because they're both functioning, right?
Correct.
It's just maybe not optimal. And
correct.
Since we have a backup, and that being the fiber, and you can, like I said, perhaps it's just the adjustment on the microwave, and that's optimal. Great. It's a backup. We want to keep pouring money into it just to make sure that it's just that little bit more when in all reality
correct.
It functions. Okay, thank you.
Good. That wraps it up. We want to carry on to your KCDC.
KCDC, we're converting those units over to digital. The last two units were ones that were hooked in the smoke alarm system. Cane controls or the digital controls we're using, they had some of their main technicians out on medical leave, so they're back on it. They're consulting with Train, trying to figure this out because it's pretty unusual and you don't want to mess anything up with the smoke alarms, but we're able to get this scheduled for September 10th. So we're hoping at that time they have to do some investigation while they're there, because trained didn't keep records back that far. But we're hoping we should be able to get the last two cut over. Like I said, it doesn't affect. The units are working and everything. It's just a matter of cutting them over to the new system.
Okay.
And the KCDC maintenance, or KC, KCDC personnel have been trying to cut over with our electrician. The VAV boxes that need to be repaired, so they're plugging away. They're on 30 out of 51, but they're just trying to fit it in between everything else.
Anything on the KCDC besides the HVAC things and the other? We can wait till Mike's turn if he's not going out. That's fine.
That would bring us to your house. Turn over to Carol.
Carol?
I am very happy to report that the county is no longer the owner of the Yule House property on 3rd Avenue.
Wow.
So that was August 15th. We closed on that. Total purchase price was $267,000. And out of that, the net that the county received was $249,355.17. So we had realtor's fees and title company fees taken out of that amount. Our realtor, Tony DiBartolo, was great. We had a really good service from Prudential Premier Properties from him, so that was a good thing. I spoke to the new owner this morning. He actually called me, telling me how much he loves the house. He's pouring buckets full of money into it.
You'll need them.
Yeah.
He's already started pulling the bushes.
Yeah, he has. He pulled all the carpeting up and is thrilled with the wood floors. He's had the cable TV people there. He says that they've been there for 5 days and still don't have cable yet, but it's an interesting project that he's very excited about, and he wanted me to tell everybody how much he loves the house and how he's going to be a good steward of our property that we owned. So it's a done deal, and we don't have that property anymore.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank you for your perseverance on this, because it was one of these things where it was going to happen, then there was some things in California that precluded the immediate sale. So, you know, it was, I think, wise discretionary part on everyone, especially yourself, to give him a little bit of latitude so he can do it.
He isn't living there yet. He has to have the zoning changed to residential.
Okay.
So that he's working with the city on that, and if he needs any help from us, then we'll help him with that.
So officially, the property sold and it's back on the tax rolls, right?
Absolutely.
Anything else for the report on that, Carol?
No.
Update on KCAB restoration.
Yes. Overall, the project is on schedule still. The waterproofing on the west and north side is continuing. The stonework on the east and south side is continuing. So that's where we are on the project, but overall, we're still on schedule.
The scheduled date for completion is?
November 1st. Beginning of November.
Is there roofing included on that?
Yes, there is.
Okay. Would that be that last, or how would you do that?
Actually, we're looking at doing that towards the end of this month, beginning of October.
Okay. And that's a regular flat roof up there?
Yes.
Is there a pitch to
it? You know, above the council chambers, there is a dome. Essentially, it's a flat roof kind of design, the material.
Point number E, new business.
Mike's recording.
Real quick, Brookside, we've got a hallway can light replacement project that's been going on slowly. We finally found sample fixtures that we're happy with, so we're going to start writing the specs on that and move forward. So that'll finally kick into gear. Hopefully get done before the year is over. Courthouse project, we have to replace the fire panel. It's obsolete, so if a part went bad, we'd be out of the fire system. So we're looking to get that done beginning of next year. We're getting a spec report.
So that'll be in next year's budget?
Right. Yeah, we have $50,000 this year, but the way we were proceeding with it wasn't acceptable. So we brought a consultant in and looked it all over again. Now we're going a little bit different direction. So is going to add to the cost to do it the right way. KCDC, project you were wondering about, the replacement of sliding detention door mechanisms.
Right.
That starts the end of the month on the 29th.
About and that's doing all in one shot or just
six of them. $40,000 covers six of them, and then next year there's money in the budget to do the rest.
Okay. For a total of?
I think it was 22.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Okay.
And they're real happy to get these done because it's a big security issue out there. You got the long hallway,
right.
And you have a door, hallway, another door, so if they have trouble, they can isolate people. If these doors not working, it's free reign. So, pretty important. Countywide projects.
With the new doors, is mm-hmm. the projected life cycle longer than the original?
It is. We're going to digital controls, so everything's going to last a lot longer, and it's not going to be so mechanical.
Okay.
Way less maintenance. It's more modular, so we'll have replacement parts where when something goes bad, we'll just plug it out and plug it in.
Because these last ones about 20 years, maybe?
Yeah.
Almost, not quite.
Okay.
But they're
so
all the original.
15, and they started probably acting up.
Right, yep.
And the new mechanisms, any idea what the projected life cycle is on 2025?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
But you think that...
Yeah, we had them come in and do a demo and everything, and the Sheriff's okay. Administration loved them, so...
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Countywide projects, HVAC position, we've been talking on and off about
right.
that quite a bit. It's currently open. We've had a lot of discussions on which way to go, and it was just recently decided to post it again in the paper and get it advertised and see how that works. Custodial positions, we had two open. We just filled the full-time position at the safety building. It addresses some real shortfalls in manpower. And then there's a part-time one open at Brookside, and that is offered, I believe, to another individual. Kemper Shoreline, we started the second phase of putting riprap from the north boundary forward. Highway Department finished on 9-2, smoothing the rubble out so we could put the riprap on top. Stone was delivered Friday, and they started piling stone today. So we're hoping with the weather coming, we can get it done real quick and get the seeding done tomorrow before the rain comes. We're running out of time.
So are we doing all that in-house?
Yes. Let's see what else. Oh, and then I was asked to, Jim Cupper asked me to speak about a grant we received. We have a energy team within the county that is sponsored by Focus on Energy from We Energies. We applied for a $10,000 grant and we received it, and it's going to go towards smaller LED projects at the different buildings.
So that's applied for, that's been received?
Applied for, yep, and by letter then, yep.
And has been accepted?
Not a check in hand yet.
Okay.
But yeah. Right. Yep, just found that out, I think, Friday afternoon.
And that would be specific to LED replacement for incandescent or fluorescent, whatever the case may be.
Right. Mostly what we're going to use it for is parking lot LED lights.
Okay.
We've taken it upon ourselves in the last 3 or 4 years to gradually replace some of the lights with LEDs, and we just have a few lights here and there at different buildings to say we got total LED outside on the building walls and on the poles. And this 10,000 will just about address the ones we want to button up. I think it's three different buildings. The other buildings are more major projects.
Now, imagine you're to the point where there's enough qualified vendors out there for the LED product that it's not like it used to be 5 years ago where there was one or two.
It changes so quickly. I mean, we started 4 years ago buying a 210-watt light from Rude Lighting. They changed over to Cree. They were bought out. At the time, they were $1,500 a fixture. And 2 years later, when we went back, they were down to $750. Same light.
Can we wait 2 more years?
No. Good, that's encouraging. Thanks for that, Grant. Anything else to follow up on?
No, that's it.
Thank you for your report. Move on to highways and Gary.
We opened the intersection at Highway C and H last week. That was a reconstruction project. all the work is not 100% complete. We have some finishing to do with landscaping and street lighting. But the intersection's open to traffic and operating so far very well. As part of that project, we all, and when we had that road closed, we had some temporary four-way stops put up at the intersections of H and Bain Station Road and C and Bain Station Road and C and 104th. During the course of that project, the village saw that those intersections were operating very well and to their liking compared to the previous two-way stop control. So they asked, just verbally, would the county consider leaving those four-way stops permanently? My response was that we would leave them on a trial basis for about a month and see how they operate. Obviously, we're looking for improvements in traffic operations and traffic safety. So what we're going to do, Supervisor Noble, who's all three of those intersections are in his district, and myself and the village administrator are going to meet this week, and we're going to kind of come up with some parameters to what we feel would be an appropriate justification to leave those in four-way stops in permanently. So we'll meet this week, and then we'll reevaluate by the end of the month, and then we'll bring our findings back to this committee for your consideration, hopefully at the next meeting. I think we'll have enough time to get those evaluated. So that's what's happening there. The other project we've been working on is paving on Highway H, where we have the segments from 50 to S scheduled for resurfacing. Because what we're doing is so disruptive to traffic, the volumes are so high on Highway H that we decided to do them in segments. So we just today completed the segment between 50 and K. It's paved, striped, shouldered, 100% complete. Now we're moving on to the segment between K and 158. Same thing, get that segment done, and then we'll move on to the last segment between 158 and S. Hopefully within 2 weeks, maybe three, weather permitting, as doesn't look too good for the rest of this week, or at least after tomorrow. So otherwise, they're moving along good. Like I said, it's really disruptive. There's just so much traffic out there. We've got the first segment done without any major incidents, so we're moving forward with that. So.
Quick question. Kind of related but unrelated. When you're in that 100th Avenue between S and KR, mm-hmm. It's not really a county road, is it?
No, it's a town road.
Can you tell me who's responsible for striping?
The town of Summers.
It is, okay. Thank you. I meant to ask you earlier, but thinking if it was us and you were close, I got some constituents asking about it, that's why. Okay.
Yeah, the town, it's all under town jurisdiction.
That's it, thank you.
Sure.
So 50 to S has been being done in increments.
Correct.
We'll have the last two increments probably done sometime this month, weather permitting.
I'm pretty confident by the end of this month. And then we're moving on to a project that the town of Lincoln asked us to do some paving for them. So.
Oh, on a contract?
Correct. Yes.
Just as far as it goes with the four-way stops in the Village of Pleasant Prairie, you know, it might be one of these things that I'm sure you're far more versed in it than myself or the committee. It might be good just in somewhere to have it stated that we're doing this at their request, and that's their basic motivating factor that this whole thing is occurring. So it's down on paper, so it's ever reviewed it sometime in the future. You know, it wasn't just left there by default. It was a request, so I'm sure that's standard language.
Yeah, we can do that, and I can tell you that I've received numerous phone calls from the public supporting leaving those faraway stops up. They're quite popular.
It's nice to get positive feedback on someone.
Yeah. And so that, at least initially, they seem to be pretty popular with the public. So. Mm-hmm. Something that we'll take into consideration.
Very quick one. You know, we obviously have reduced the speed on H. You'll see that's actually a QQ. So on Bain Station, I was on what I was thinking. I wonder if that speed reduction will help there a little bit, as opposed to, because we've got the turnaround, right?
Or correct.
The roundabout.
Right.
And it isn't far, too far, and then you hit Bain Station right there.
Correct.
Now, coming north, it's obviously a long stretch, and maybe that's a little different animal. But those are kind of some of the things you're looking at.
Absolutely.
I can certainly see, especially with Bain Station. It's just that goofy intersection there that
right.
people come flying through there.
Yeah. Well, the biggest problem at H and Bain Station Road was the delay that was created for the vehicles on Bain Station Road. So that's really what the village was looking to resolve. And I'm sure that it's going to improve the delay. But if it creates a much larger delay on H, then, you know, then we have to reconsider. So those are the type of things we'll be looking at.
Thank you.
Anything else in your... Or
nothing else.
Any contact with the different railroad entities on rebuilding grades at crossing? Did they notify Conway Mayor to come in and do that, or did you show up, or how does it work?
Well, they do notify us maybe a week ahead when they do going to do. We have two crossing repairs pending. One is the one on Highway 50 near Cooper Road, and that the DOT is working with the railroad to manage that from a traffic control standpoint. The one on S, our 30-day waiting period to have the railroad respond is just about up, and I have been in contact with the Commissioner of Railroad's attorney, and it's likely we're going to have to go to some sort of a hearing conducted by the Commissioner of Railroads to force the railroad to do the repairs, because they're not going to respond to me.
So from your perspective, is this repair that's likely to happen this season, or?
Well, that's, yes. I mean, that's what our goal is. It's really up to the Commissioner of Railroads to make that determination on the timing of the repair.
I know you will find that enough, but it's getting in really bad shape. Is there anything, because obviously nothing moves fast when you start doing it. Is there anything we can do without investing a lot other than just pour some asphalt? Because it, holy cow. Especially at night when you really don't know what's coming.
Yeah.
It's bone jarring.
Yeah, really putting some asphalt in the hole is all we can do. And
okay.
Technically, we can't even do that. I mean, if you go by the letter of the law, we're not supposed to be within 20 feet of a railroad doing any maintenance activities.
If you hadn't done that,
I know.
It would be probably...
Right.
And we're witnessing people actually...
And we do it.
Zero from the westbound lane to the eastbound lane to what? So you're well aware of that.
Right.
Thank you for keeping on top of that and keeping us surprised. Without further comment, then let's go on to item 10, golf. Dan?
We had our PGA Junior League, which is our traveling league between Hawksview, Geneva National, Strawberry Creek, Delbrook, and Brightondale. We actually won the league this year. They were all 8 to 13-year-old youth that participated, and so that was really good. And then there was 10 children from that league that were chosen for All-Stars with two alternates, and we competed against the Legends group from the Milwaukee area a couple weeks ago at Geneva National, and we won that handily. And then yesterday we went up to Cedarburg at Hidden Glen, and we played Madison first, and we won there 7-5. And then we played all the Kohler groups out of Sheboygan, and we won the state championship yesterday 6.5-5.5. So it was really gratifying to see all the smiles and all the high fives that were going on in that PGA Junior League. Also, our junior program finished very strong. We had about 115 children that we had in our junior programs, both the week-long camp and the eight-week program. We had a parent-child tournament at Brightondale on 8-10. We had 70 people participate in that tournament, which was double what we had last year. And everybody, again, you know, thanked us for having such a quality program and really enjoyed all the instruction and how well their children's game have come along and said that they'd be back next year, so that was good. Everybody's really giving us positive feedback on the golf courses. Unfortunately, though, you know, our rounds are down. I mean, the weather, you know, is really been a factor, especially at Brightondale. You know, I look on the weather.com and get one figure, but Rich's figures when he uses to justify the wastewater treatment plant, the precipitation out there is almost double, you know, what I get off the Weather Channel, you know. So it's just every day it's a threat. I mean, Gary knows he had to wait all the way till July to do our paving. There's still some paving to do. We'd like him to come back, and it's still, you know, it's just always threatening. So it's been a challenging year, especially at Brightondale. Do want to report, though, that our email blast, we're almost email blasting 14,000 people a week, you know, when we put out those email blasts. So, you know, our email databases are growing and growing, and really trying to get the word out there, doing some good advertising. So there's a lot of awareness of our facilities. You know, we had the summer shootout August 15th. We only had 44 players in there, but everybody did have a good time, and you know, it was a brand new tournament for us, so hopefully next year, you know, we can double that participation too. We really only have you know, a little bit of cart path paving yet to do. We have a little stretch on the white, and then that's all done. The blue is done, and lots of positive comments, you know, on how much better it is out there at Brightondale and blue because of the work that the highway department did, so that's great. And we're dressing the sides. We have 2.5 miles of path that we did, so we have about 5 miles of sides that we're adding dirt and seed and straw and everything to. And overall, the last 2 months have been very, very busy. Last month, again, you know, was a tremendous month. August is definitely our best month of the year. And you know, we really have a lot of positive momentum. It's just, you know, we're fighting the weather. So, you know, I'm very happy with our staff and the way things are progressing. It's just we need to get some good summer weather yet to finish out the year strong. And our next event is the Kenosha County Executive Cup, which is Wednesday, and we got a 100% chance of showers is what they're saying now, so we'll see how that all shakes out. But if we can't play, we're going to have the dinner anyway and raffle off the prizes and go from there and give everybody a rain check for their golf. So that's what we have planned for the Kenosha County Executive Cup. So that's what's going on in the world of golf.
What is the proper name for the group of junior golfers that won the state championship? What's the proper name for that?
It's the PGA Junior League All-Stars. Lake Geneva PGA Junior League All-Stars. Yep, there will be an article coming out. I will get it to all you guys. The pro at Hawksview is really the president of the league, and he's putting together an article, and he's going to send it out to the newspapers, and I'll make sure it gets out to the Kenosha News, and you guys won't blast it out to our email database. So
that particular group, do they have a quote-unquote home course, or is it a group of courses within the area? How do they do it?
It's those five courses that they all came from. Okay. We have three kids from our course. There's three kids from Hawksview. There's three kids from Geneva National. There's one child from Strawberry, and Delbrook has two.
Okay.
So there's 12. Yep. And so we go to Chicago, we go to Coghill next, that's for the regionals, and then if they win there, they go to the California for the western section and of the United States, and then if they win there, they go to Augusta National for where they play the Masters. Yeah, so yeah, it's really, really, it was a lot of fun. I mean, it's what the PGA came up with to kind of compete against Little League and Pee Wee football and getting the kids in a team environment and team sport and really getting them to be lifelong players. There's no doubt that those guys will play for the rest of their lives because of the fun that they're having now.
We're good. Thank you for your report, Dan. Any further questions or comments by supervisors? You have something?
I do have something. Jim Kupfer asked me to ask you guys, and you spoke to Supervisor Elverman, if we could change the October meetings to 13th, because the budget is being released on October 7th, which is the day after the first Monday. So if it would be all right with the committee to switch it to the 13th.
Which is, that's still a Monday?
It's the following Monday, the second Monday.
Then what we'll do is you can make that the default meeting date unless you hear differently. Something comes up where it's not workable, we'll let you know. But
okay.
As it stands at the moment, October 13th, and we'll bring Elverman in on this and just get his input. That should be okay.
Okay, thank you.
No other matters? I entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.